When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Metal Mike, and in this episode of the 80s Glam Metal Cast, we talk to a vocal legend from Armored Saint, John Bush. We talk all about their new album, Punching the Sky. We talk their upcoming Symbol of Salvation live DVD, and a little bit about Anthrax 2. John's a cool guy. It's a fun discussion. Check it out. Well, John, welcome to the 80s Glam Metal Cast. How you doing, man?
What's happening, Mike? How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great. So, this whole COVID thing, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy through all this?
Well, Armored Saint was lucky enough to make a record. It came out in October of last year, 2020. We haven't played any shows like nobody has, right, which is a big drag, obviously. But we did make a record that we're super proud of with Punching the Sky. It came out in, like I said, October. We've been working on the recordings of some of our live shows that we did on the Symbol Salvation tour, which was in 2019, I believe. And we're going to put out a live DVD and a live record from that tour where we did that record in its entirety. And that's supposed to come out in October of this year. So we do have a lot of product that came out, it's coming out. We were fortunate enough to be able to have our record, the Punch in the Sky record, not be affected by any scheduling and mainly by any COVID issues that a lot of people had to deal with, obviously, because our record was already recorded. So we just had to get it mixed and it was finished. So we were real lucky on that level.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And, you know, I've been rocking out on that album, and it's great. And one of the major things that stands out is, like, you haven't missed a beat vocally, man. I mean, and not a lot of heavy metal singers can say that.
Yeah, you know, I it's been a long time of singing, and my voice has probably changed through the years a little bit. It's gotten a little deeper, a little huskier. But I think it's actually at a good place right now where it sounds warm. It sounds like the way I really want to kind of sing and have been singing for a while now. I mean, you know, look, dude, when we were started, you know, Armored Saint, when we came out in like 1983, I was 20 years old. It was, you know, I look at myself with a little pipsqueak voice, you know, and even though I think I sang well and definitely had my own style and stuff, it took a while for me to really kind of grow into my voice. And it's in a good place now, and I just have to take care of it. And sometimes it's annoying because you have to, you know, really kind of be real conservative on how you live and what you drink and what you eat. And, you know, the singers, it's funny. Other people think we have the greatest lives, but sometimes our lives have to be really, really kind of straight and narrow because of, you know, you got to take care of your voice. And it's annoying at times. But in the end, I want to sound good, you know. No amount of like fun and partying, and I've done that plenty of times in my life, none of that is worth it if the next day you sound like crap. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I mean, singers really do have it tough. You know, with your guitar, if you don't like the sound of it, you just buy another guitar or a new amp. But your voice is your voice, man. It's part of your body. So
it's a physical thing, you know. And as you get older, and I am older, obviously, than I was when I started in the 80s. It's just you really have to take care of yourself, or else you'll not sound good. Although there's the real rare singers drink like fish and do things, and I'm looking at them going, and the next day they'll sound great. And I'm like, how the hell are you? I hate you. How do you do that? You know, but it's pretty rare. You know, I always say that singers and drummers are the ones that are really challenged later in life when it comes to being in a band, and especially a metal band for years, because, you know, it's very physical.
One tune
that really stands out to me on the new album is End of the Attention Span. And I think the video is great. And you know, it makes us kind of think about ourselves, you know what I mean? Because when you're watching a guy click through, you know, all the different shows on TV, or he's somebody's taping a concert, watching it through their phone instead of watching it with their eyes, you know? And, you know, we've all done those kind of things. And I just think it's so cool to, like, kind of sit back and think about how much we've changed as people, especially since the 80s. Think about how you were in the 80s, how you are today. You're multitasking. You're just, there's so much information.
It is. I mean, that's exactly why we wrote it. You know, it kind of demonstrates all the things in life that can distract you as a person. You know, it takes your mind and it shifts all the way you see things and do things and keep yourself busy and, you know, look, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of pros to technology. There's amazing things. As a matter of fact, I'm talking on one right now that you can actually have FaceTime with, which was, you know, that was kind of like some science fiction stuff.
Right.
You know, you look at somebody with, you know, if you look back on the, having FaceTime and the availability of doing that and stuff. But, you know, there's really cool aspects. It's just a matter of balance, really. That's what I always say, because you do want some form of technology, but it's the thing that, you know, you'll look at like a group of people at a restaurant, you know, four or five people, and none of them are talking. They're just all on their telephone, you know, and it's, you know, it could be a mom, a dad, you know, the two kids, and it's the same thing. You know, they're all just like not even communicating. They're on their phone.
Yeah.
You know, again, the same thing with like going to a show. We've done it. I've seen it. I've experienced it on both ends. It's a trip. You know, it's just it's a very demanding apparatus, this telephone and computer and stuff. But yet you need it at the same time. So I mean, that's the quandary, if you will, that I think about when it comes to you know, technology. But like I said, some of it's important. You know, so. It's just one perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a song on the new album that's your favorite? What are some of your favorites on the new one?
Well, we're going to make a video. We've actually been so lucky. Metal Blade Records has been so great with us during this real tough time, because obviously we can't play. So they've been real helpful with us and pretty open with the pocketbook and making videos. We've made three. We're going to make a fourth here. Well, we've actually made four, but one of them was called like a... I forget what they call it. It's something like a instrumental video or something where you just kind of mostly show the guys playing. We did one for the song Never Your Friend, but that was less of a production video. As a matter of fact, I was riding my bike, singing it, going down Wilshire Boulevard here in LA.
I watched
pretty
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to do that, but in any case, we're going to make a new video. As a matter of fact, this weekend. For the song Lone Wolf, which is a great tune. Real proud of that one song. I love all the songs on the record. I think they're great. But that song is really cool because it's a little different style, a little more bluesy rock, big, you know, chorus to it, a lot of cool vocal sounds on it, and great riff and cool lyrics, I think. So I'm real excited about doing a video for that. It's going to be different from some of the other videos we've done. So, like I said, we love our record. We think it's great. You know, you want to go out and obviously play some new songs from the record. That's what everyone does. You put a record out and then you go tour or play some shows. And we haven't been able to do that properly. But, pretty soon.
Yeah, I kind of like how there's a lot of different elements on the album. Another one that stuck out to me was All Bark, No Bike. That seemed kind of like a little bit funkier. You know, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, Armor Saint is a band that, you know, we really kind of cherished changing styles and being able to show a lot of the diversity that I think we have as a group. You know, we love being a metal band. You know, that's really kind of the origins of the group. But we feel like we could do a lot of different things. We've always had a real bluesy style. I definitely try to be a bluesy singer. You know, no one is better in the world of rock and roll to me than Robert Plant and people like Bon Scott. And, you know, even early Ozzy was super bluesy. And, you know, I used all those kind of things as influences, as well as like a lot of old school R&B groups, you know, bands from the 70s, like the OJs and Stevie Wonder and you know, the Earth, Wind & Fire. Those bands actually had a big impact on me as well as a listener and as a fan. So, you know, I think that that's one of the things about the new record that we really are trying to kind of show, that we have a lot of different styles on it. And You know, it's not, we're not just kind of one-dimensional band, which we've never really been. Yeah, and I think sometimes, believe it or not, that's when we kind of get a little bit in this area of being slightly lost, because, you know, especially, I always say this, and you do the glam metal podcast here. So the irony is that Armageddon was, we were never really a full, like, metal thrash band by any means, because that's, you know, we're a little different than that. Sometimes we would get not completely embraced by that audience, but then even though we came from the LA scene in the 80s and played with bands like Black and Blue and Great White and Wasp, we weren't really a full glam band either, even though we could play some, you know, ballad type tunes as well. So we sometimes got in this area where we were a little bit not part of either scene. And I think sometimes it worked against us, because you want to kind of benefit from a style and a scene that's happening. And both those scenes were kind of happening. And even though we would play with bands from both kind of eras, if you will, we didn't really get a benefit from playing with both, if you will. So, but that's the way life goes. And the Armored Saints road was always a little bit of a kind of a weird, jagged one at times. But, you know, in the end, I think we kind of just, it took time for us to find our style and to really be comfortable with it. And we're there now, and we have been for a long time. But believe it or not, it took some time to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, definitely. And when you talk about Symbol of Salvation, I get excited to hear that you guys are going to put out a DVD and a CD of the live show for that full album, because probably like a lot of fans out there, that's my favorite. I love that album. And, just so many kick-ass songs, you know, like Dropping Like Flies and Tribal Dance, and it's a kick-ass album.
Yeah, we're real proud of Symbol. You know, it's kind of the cornerstone record of our career, and, you know, there was a lot that went into the making of that record, and into the actual recording, and obviously the writing, Dave, losing his life to leukemia and going through that, and a lot of the uncertainties that was happening when he was sick, and being able to just kind of finalize that record and make it with him doing all the writing. As a matter of fact, he even playing on the one song, Tainted Path, where we were able to fly in his guitar lead, and this was pre-Pro Tools, so that was not an easy thing to do. It was very painstaking, like 5-6 hours of, you know, matching it together, because the tempo is a little different from the original demo, and but we got him on there, and, you know, it's a great record. And when we were playing it live in its entirety, you know, we really realized how good of a record it was. And again, real diverse, you know.
It is.
We have Rain of Fire and songs like Tribal and Symbol of Salvation, where, you know, pretty much it's just a slammer. And you have Another Day and Tainted Path, which is kind of longer and epic-y tunes. And Truth Always Hurts, which is kind of bluesy. So, again, it shows a lot of the diversity of the record, and we knew it every night when we were playing it. It was real fun.
Does it feel like it has been 30 years since its release?
Well, you know, it's so weird with our career and our longevity, which is something we're real proud of, because that's the thing that you can kind of control. You know, I always say that it's difficult to control the actual success that records have, because a lot of it is just out of your hand, how the public takes it and the timing and some luck and various things that really the stars need to align perfectly for everything to make a record like financially successful. But in the end, you know, you can control the quality of the music, and that's the thing that we've always strove to do, because that's the thing that like I said, you're in control of. You're in control of making a great record and knowing that when it's done. And then afterwards, you just have to let it go. You know, I know we've been around quite a while. I look in the mirror and I see some years of my life, but it's still pretty good. And, you know, I think that as a band, Armored Saint just keeps plugging along. And it is weird to think that record was 30 years ago, because it doesn't seem that long ago. You just want to stand the test of time. I think that's really important, at least to us it was, to just be around a long time and to put out a lot of music. And even though there was a break when I was in Anthrax, and so we had a gap of time where we didn't make records, and we were pretty much broken up. And even though it's taken, you know, we don't move super fast in in releasing records, because it was 5 years from punching this guy from the previous record went hands down, and you know, so we know that we're not moving at the pace that people did in the 70s, which I always marvel at. That's like, right. Those guys are making records every year, and they're touring, and so how they do it. And we're doing a lot of drugs on top of that. How did they do that? It's amazing. But in any case, you know, when the records do come out, when we look back on our career, we really want to look back and say, wow, we made a lot of really good records. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm a huge Kiss fan. And when I look back to think that they were doing like 2 albums a year, touring, I'm like, and it's funny. You know what's weird? When you think about, we were talking about how fast things are moving with technology and all this information. But it does. It seems like the album process is so much slower now. You know, once again, that's a lot of different factors. Maybe there's not a reason to make 2 albums a year, you know, nowadays. But I always kind of, it's so weird, because in a band's life today, 5 years can pass and it's like nothing really happens with the band. If you like take a band like Kiss or Zeppelin, 5 years of their career was like, holy shit, it was so much going on. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Look at the Beatles, you know, the amount of music they made in the small amount of time they were together. I don't know what to say. I guess that's why they're so good, and that's why they're so legendary, is they were just making a lot of music in a short amount of time or quickly. It's really a remarkable. I mean, Aerosmith, you name it, everybody. They were just making records, you know, usually once a year, at least, sometimes more than that, sometimes twice a year. I'm reading Rob Halford's book, and he's talking about when, I think Stained Glass and Hellbent for Leather came out the same year in 1979, or whatever it was, 2 records came out in 1979, and I just can't even believe it, because they still were playing shows and stuff. I don't know how they did it, you know, really, and we were making amazing records, let's face it. So,
yeah.
There was a better, I guess.
Well, speaking of stuff, that another one that's almost 30 years, which was kind of, this was really hitting me when I was going back and getting this all ready, is like Sound of White Noise, a couple years is going to be 30 years old. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, but that album, man, that album stands the test of time. And you go back and listen to it, that's a good album, man. It's an amazing album.
Yeah, that's a great album, man. It has a really cool vibe to it. I think it was just because of this, the change happened, you know, me becoming the new singer and the band kind of taking a little bit of a chance with some of the writing styles, and you can hear a lot of that. And you know, the 90s were happening, so things were changing and morphing a bit from the 80s, and you know, I always say, when we were an Anthrax, we embraced that, you know, we embraced all the groups that were coming out around us, Alice in Chains, you know, the Soundgardens, the like Faith No More's, and these were amazing groups, and you know, some of the best bands of all time, really, as far as I see it. And I think they were having an influence on just not necessarily the sound of the band, but the excitement of the new era and the new, you know, new decade, and it was just motivating. So I think those are the things that, you know, along the 80s, of course, but the 90s were cool, and I think that people forget about that. There was a lot of contributions from just great groups that were just, like I said, inspiring a band like Anthrax when I joined, and so, again, not to try to sound like those bands, because I'm sure some of those bands were inspired by Anthrax, let's face it, but, you know, but the reality is, it's just, you felt this excitement and enthusiasm of the new decade, and it was fun. You know, I look back on that record, and, you know, I what I've been doing lately for probably the last years, I know I haven't been able to, I haven't been able to play, but I'm trying to keep my voice in shape, because, you know, I don't want to, like, go through months without singing. For one, I like to sing, and number two, it's a muscle, so, you know, it's going to atrophy, you know, so it's important to sing, but I don't want to sing to Armored Saint songs right now, because I'll just wear them out and get bored, especially the new album. So I don't really sing too much of it on my own, because I want to keep it fresh. So I've been just going through my catalog. Lately, I've basically kind of started alphabetically, and right now I'm in Queen, so I've been singing the Queen songs, which is great and extremely challenging, because I'm a huge Queen fan. Just really discovering how amazing that band was. But I did the same thing with the Anthrax records that I made, and you know, I started singing to them, you know, and just when I was in the A's, you know. Mm-hmm. and And I realized how great some of those records were, you know, in particular Sound of White Noise. I even think We've Come For You All, which came out in 03, was a great record as well. I think they all are. This is, they all have their own kind of trip, but it was fun to sing to those songs because it just had been a while since I sang to those songs. So, you know, it's fun. I'm like going back to my early days of being a kid, you know, in my garage at my parents' house when I was like 14 or 15 years old. And that's what I would do is I would go in there and just play records and emulate my favorite singers and sing to these records. And it's kind of how I discovered my voice and developed it and stuff. And I'm doing the same thing. It's just funny. I'll type up, you know, Queen lyrics, A through Z. There's a particular website, A through Z, and, you know, it breaks it down by every record. You know, some of the lyrics might not even be correct, which is funny because I'll be like, wait, that's not right.
Right.
But it's fun because then I'll sing to these songs. I feel like I'm back to being 15 years old in my parents' garage, and, you know, minus some hair and a little older and, you know, probably more sober, but it's real fun.
That's funny you mentioned Queen because I love Queen. I got my son, he's 20. I got him into Queen and he's obsessed with Queen. And I keep saying, I'm like, we got to do a Queen episode at some point. And my wife will say, oh, they're not 80s glam. And I always say, you know what? I don't care. I do whatever. It's just what I like. You know what I mean? We all like different kinds of music, you know?
So many 80s Dan was inspired by Queen. I mean, yeah without him. To talk about, there's actually no band on earth like Queen.
No.
There really is none. And it's just, they broke the mold because they were willing to do anything. Like, those guys tackled any particular style.
Yes.
There was, you know, whether it's like Seaside Rendezvous, which is a trippy song, Bohemian Rhapsody, obviously, is a, you know, an understatement. And, you know, but they were heavy too. They had songs like Brighton Rock, which is awesome, super powerful, Flick of the Wrist. You know, obviously Tie Your Mother Down. It's just such a diverse band. They did anything and everything. And Freddie was amazing. Roger Taylor was a great singer. You know, it was just fun. And without Queen, you would probably not have the Motley Crue.
Right. Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah, no, I love them. One more thing about Anthrax, probably this kind of stuff comes up all the time, but if you get to a 30-year anniversary of this album and there's any kind of things going on with it, are you willing to participate, whether it be, you know, like a reissue or a show or anything? Would you be down with it?
Yeah, I mean, I always just want those records to be available. As a matter of fact, Megaforce Records is re-releasing some of those records, and I think it's going to be a cool thing because some of them were out of print for a while. And because one of the things that happened when we left Electro Records, we were able to take the masters, but then you have to re-license the records, and if you don't like stay on it, then they become, you know, they'll sell through and then they won't be available any longer. And that kind of happened. But I think Megaforce is re-putting them out, and it's, you know, like I said, I just want my music to be available. As a matter of fact, yesterday I went to the brand new Amoeba record store here in LA. Amoeba was a really cool record store in the corner of Coinga and Sunset Boulevard for a long time. And, you know, there's not a lot of record stores, as we all know these days, which is a really sad thing. And they shut down, and they were saying, we're going to reopen. And I was like, no, they're not going to do it. I was pretty cynical about it. And they did. And they did right on Hollywood Boulevard, and it looks just like the old Amoeba for the most part. And I was really happy about that because I miss record stores. And, you know, I want to go in and I went and bought a bunch of records myself because I want to contribute to the business that I'm part of. It's really important. You know, I want to buy records too. So, you know, it was cool to do that. And that's all I ever really want is I want the records I've made to be available. You know, I can't force people to buy them. And, you know, in my years of Anthrax, it's funny because, you know, there's always this like, oh, Joey's better all, I like John. And I always say, you know, you can like both, you know, have a preference and you can have a favorite, but you can still like both. You know, I loved Ozzy and I loved Ronnie.
Yeah.
You know, when it came to, you know, Sabbath, and I'm a Brian Johnson, and, you know, Bon Scott is still my favorite. So it's Tommy and Dave, and, you know, you can like different singers and you could have a favorite, but that's what I always tell people. But I just want those records to be available. When I go to Amoeba and I'd look through the, you know, the A Anthrax section, and I wouldn't see any of those records, it would make me sad and frustrated. So I guess it's just making sure these albums are available. And you know, who knows, if something happens, you know, me and Scott, I just saw him recently at Joey Vera's house, and we hung out and had a lot of fun chewing the fat and talking about stuff, whatever it is, trivial stuff. But, you know, it's a good relationship now with those guys. And at times it was a little bit kind of distant, but it's not really like that any longer. You know, Joey Belladonna is, you know, the face of Anthrax and the voice of it. And, you know, that's his gig. And I'm not looking to, you know, get in there again at all. But if we could do something, you know, here and there is a fun little thing to kind of honor stuff here, I'd be supportive of the idea. But, you know, the band is secure the way it is and doing very well as is, and I think that's the way it should continue on. But, you know, anything's possible for, like, a random show or a song or two, or, you know, I'd be open to that because, you know, I love those songs.
Yeah, definitely. And you make an interesting point, and I think most fans get this, you know, you don't have to choose, you know what I mean? That's what makes these catalogs so interesting. When you talk about, you know, I guess Queen was a bad example because they always had all the same guys, but you're right, when you look at Sabbath, and you look at, you know, all these different bands who had different lineups. I mean, that's what made it interesting. That's what's fun as a fan. Or even if a band went in a different direction for a certain album. I mean, that's cool. Right. You know what I mean? That's what makes a catalog exciting. There's different performers. There's different styles that they tried. When it's just the same thing, it's boring, you know? It is.
No doubt about it. I agree completely. You know, you want to see a band grow. And unfortunately, sometimes personnel changes happen. I mean, I had problems with it too. I'm a fan as well, like anybody else. And, you know, when a singer, well, when someone dies, there's nothing you can do.
That's right.
The band could either end, or they could, you know, continue on with a different member. You know, there's certain bands that I hope never do. I hope, you know, Pantera never regroups as Pantera.
Right.
You can't replace Diamond in. You just can't do it, you know. But, you know, look, there's bands that do things, they pick up and they continue on. They have a personnel change or something, and you look and go, you listen and go, you like it or you don't, or it grows on you. Perhaps it takes time to do that. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, it's hard to be in a band with like four other guys, you know. It can be a struggle, and sometimes people grow in different directions, and you just have to. Sometimes that means people are going to leave the band, and as a fan myself, I would be like, I can't believe that guy's not in the band anymore. I don't want to listen to that band anymore. I mean, Best Binks, you know, is one of the being in a bunch of my friends' favorite drummer of all time. He really, you know, in the biggest records that he made, he just was so outstanding. And when he left and Dave Holland came, and it was a really different kind of style of drumming, we had a problem with that. We struggled with that because we're such fans of Les Banks. But, you know, there's still a great record and Screams for Vengeance. And eventually you just kind of say, all right, it grows on you. You wonder what it would have been like if Les played on those records.
Right.
And that would have been really cool to hear. But it's just, it wasn't to be. So, you know, personnel changes, you just kind of, you have to deal with them at times because that's what happened.
Yeah, one thing, this is off topic, obviously, but Lane Staley, man, he was a big fan of yours. And I think maybe at the time in the 90s, you know, since MTV was so visual and you're just, you know, you're looking at somebody more the way they look than the way they sound. But I know, at least for me, when I go back and I, you know, listen to Armored Say and I listen to Alice in Chains, and this is all open. I think he jammed with you guys on stage and stuff, but it's amazing. Like you said, you were an influence on him.
Well, there's a version of him before even Alice in Chains singing the song False Alarm, which was our first EP, on our first EP, and he was covering it with a band. I don't think it was Alice in Chains. It was just another cover band that he was in. And it's always a trip to watch that because you can see it on YouTube. And obviously, he liked that song. And you know, how much of a fan, I'm not sure exactly because I don't remember. We did meet a couple times. And I don't remember having that discussion. But it's always cool when you like somebody a lot and then you figure that they, or you find out that they were a fan of what you did as well. So that's really cool and rewarding. You know, Lane was amazing, incredible voice, and really had a cool style. And Jerry's a great singer as well.
Yeah.
The blend that those two guys had was just really spectacular and just really unique. And, you know, he obviously died way too young, and it's just really sad. But you know, he did make some great music when he was alive, and it was Alice in Chains had a big influence on me. You know, Dirt is such a great record, and it's amazing. So, you know, it's fun when that happens, when maybe you had an inspiration from somebody that you inspired at the same time. That's really neat.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of funny how everything comes full circle, I guess, huh?
It does. You know, it does. And you know, we're certainly in a place now where we're, you know, and older, so we're having an influence on younger bands. Just recently, Chris Santos, who's a chef, has many restaurants in Santa Rosa. He was telling me about, because he has his own record company. He was telling me about a band that covered Only and sent me the video. And, you know, it's like, wow, it's pretty funny when you hear somebody singing you and re-recording a song of yours that's because, you know, we've made covers through the years. And whether it was, you know, just Prince, Robin Flower, we did that in our song. We did Kiss numerous times when I was in the band, and it was just it's always fun to hear that somebody doing you. It's a trip.
Well, man, this has been a great conversation. Anything you want to say to your fans out there in closing?
Hey, you know what? Just thanks for all the support through the years, and hopefully our music gets you through the day, and makes the traffic a little more bearable. And you know, that's the whole objective, is to take you away from, you know, everyday life and put on headphones, you know, grab a beer or whatever you like to drink, if it's alcohol or not, whatever. And, you know, and just, you know, kind of escape. And that's what the music's for. And if we can do that and make people happy with our music, and, you know, that to me is the ultimate goal. That's what we, you know, strive to do. So, we can't do it without fans. You know, you could be this band who you know, makes music, but no one cares, and it's really irrelevant. You know, let's face it. So, you know, the people that buy it, the people that listen to it, the people that come to the shows, that buy the T-shirts. You know, they're the ones that they make it roll. So we're really, you know, extremely just proud of our background, and super happy and supportive. The fans that have supported us through the years, and you know, we couldn't do it without them. Don't forget, honestly, we had some big hair in the 80s. And, you know, we, like I said, we came from, and we're really proud of being from Los Angeles. And you know, I'd love to do a show with somebody like that, or you know, I know Watson is doing their 40-year reunion tour, I heard, and it would be killer to do some shows with them on that.
Nice.
You know, we love our background, so we're excited.
Appreciate it, man.
I agree. Well, thank you, brother. Have a great day. Have a good week, and stay safe and stay out here during this weird time. Thanks for all the support.
And good luck with everything you guys are doing this year.
Well, that was awesome talking with John. Now check in with us live on Thursday night, May 13th, and help us create the ultimate Kiss set list. Also, Billy Childs from Britney Fox is coming up. Interview with him over the weekend. Make sure you subscribe so you miss none of the action. Rock on!